Hey, Michael Steele podcast listeners, Michael Steele here with another quick take from the Michael Steele podcast. Check out what's going on right now.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Michael Steele podcast. And my buddy Rick Wilson and I are kind of looking at 2022, this January 6th commission, the state of play here at home, and assessing exactly why Democrats don't see what we see. Number one, y'all help the brother out because we don't get it. We don't see why they don't get what we don't get, what we get. But also now, Rick, I want to open up this part of our conversation with a little something that literally dropped about an hour ago from the Lincoln Project. And you guys tweeted out, if we reelect Donald Trump in 2024, we send a message to the rest of the world that we do not care about our democracy and that we support criminals in power. Don't miss Rick Wilson on the pod, which is the Lincoln Project pod, but he's also here with us on this one. But I do want to play this because I thought it was really to the point.
I think the whole position we find ourselves in with Jared and with Donald right now is, if Trump is reelected, these people will recognize that they have been not punished for the behavior they engaged in and exhibited over the past 6 years. And in fact, we're rewarded for it. And so once you reward a criminal or a thief or a scumbag for doing something criminal, they'll do more of it. You will always get more of what you pay for in this world.
Why don't people get that? What is it about as you juxtapose the democracy narrative in Ukraine, when you have a president of Ukraine who, by every account, I mean, this brother is like, I get up, if I didn't have bad knees, sign me up, right? So you've got that. And then here at home, you've got Republicans saying that he's the bad guy. And so why don't people get what you say in this, I think, very important message, that if you don't figure this out, this doesn't go well for us. Democracy does end, and the criminals, the bad guys, win in an unprecedented way.
Yeah, it really is a moment of enormous consequence. And you know, part of it comes down to the fact you and I grew up in the just win, baby culture of the Republican Party. Get to the finish line, no matter how you do it, get there. And if you have to skirt the edge, you get there. The Republican Party today, it's not just win. It's just win and destroy.
Yeah.
And I encourage the Democrats to understand that Republicans view this as an existential battle for utter control. They will stop doing elections in a meaningful way if they win what they want to win.
Yeah.
They'll stop. It'll be like the Ba'ath Party in Iraq used to be, where every 2 years they had an election, but everybody that won a seat in the Iraqi parliament was a family member of Saddam Hussein, and Saddam Hussein got 107% of the vote.
Right. Right.
You know, I want to just shake my Democratic friends and tell them, you got to stop worrying about policy. You've got to win the fight about politics, and you got to win the fight about personalities, and you got to win the fight about an emotional appeal to the American people that calls their better angels out, but also kicks the living shit out of bad guys. And if the Democrats don't understand that corruption is the killer app, I can't help them. It is a great look. You and I both remember. We're old enough to remember 1994, mm-hmm. when everybody thought, oh, the House Bank and the House Post Office, that's nothing. For everybody that's younger than this, y'all go Google it. But we turned that issue into a spear, into the heart of the Democratic Party. We communicated to voters, they're corrupt, they're cheating, they're stealing from the taxpayers. Have your revenge upon them.
Led to the resignation of the Speaker of the House.
Corrupt. Yeah,
yeah,
it is. It is absolutely made a Speaker of the House. And the Republican Party today is so corrupt from top to bottom. You know, you got a guy like Rick Scott, who's running the Senate committee. He is running on a massive federal tax increase for middle class and working voters. Rick Scott is a guy who went from being worth nothing to stealing $300 million in the largest tax, in the largest fraud case in American history when he ran HCA.
Mm-hmm.
To when he ran for office, he had about $200 million in the bank. And now somehow he's done nothing but be in politics for the last 12 years. And now somehow he's worth $1 billion. These guys are lavishly corrupt. They have exploited the system. The Democrats need to convert on this in the fastest way possible. Corruption is a killer app.
It really is. And you touch on a number of those points in an opinion piece that you did in the Washington Post back on March 18th, entitled "The GOP is about to come after Biden on Ukraine."
Oh, yes.
You noted, quote, "Republicans slapped blue and yellow flag pins on their Joseph A. Banks suits and took a short break from anti-vaccine bleeding and blaming President Biden for global inflation. This moment of unity looked promising. Who could miss all those congressional Republicans cheering as loudly as Democrats during Volodymyr Zelensky's address to Congress?" You go on. "Republicans specialize at turning Democratic successes overseas into disasters. It's a slow burn strategy designed to trigger an outraged culture that doesn't stop at the water's edge. GOP leaders don't care about reality. Their audience doesn't care about the truth, and their political media apparatus always stays on message." Not only is that applicable to what we see happening more broadly in Europe, sure, it is also very much applicable to what we've been talking about here at home. And right, this, it is a constant threat for Republicans to make no that doubt case over and over. It is a discipline unlike any other discipline in the party. When they have you in the crosshairs, there is no release.
No, I have been on the receiving end and the delivery end of that kind of attack.
Same here.
And it is not fun. You know this as well as anybody. It is not fun. And it is a tough place to live.
Hell, I still have people questioning me about a strip club in Los Angeles that I never went to. But
of course.
That was they'll
believe me. There's
job,
always
right?
there's always an Oppo file out there with some fantasy on it. my favorite piece of Oppo is Wilson paid off his mortgage. You know, every month I still seem to write that check. I don't know how that happened. You know, it's all the craziness. And it really comes down, and I say this a lot, and I'm blue in the face sometimes, but that discipline on the right of staying on message, when the leader of the party says something in the Republican Party, folks, it will be listened to, it will be followed, it will not be deviated from, or you're going to get your ass handed to you. And in the Democratic Party, you know, we've got progressives who are blowing up Joe Biden on the left. You got Manchin and Sinema blowing up Joe Biden on the right. If the Democrats really want to do one thing, if they did one single thing in a 30,000 foot way, it's get Biden's positives up.
Get
Biden's positives up somewhere in the high 40s, and it's a really different roadmap, a really different electoral map. And all the other things that I tell them they have to do would be a lot easier. And all the stuff I've said, you know, about what they need to do about the culture war and the economic stuff, that's because Biden's numbers are in the low 40s, high 30s.
Yeah.
If they could jack his number, and look, if they had $25 million laying around in the bank, I would run a positive Joe Biden digital campaign for the next 2 months and let that start to work the numbers. And it would. But this is not how the Democratic Party thinks about these things.
So that then leads me to a conversation that I had this week when I was in California. Right. And of course, everyone asks about the Lincoln Project, and very mindful of the role that the Lincoln Project played in that seminal moment, that Morning in America ad, which
right,
I think in many respects changed the complete trajectory of that election.
Modestly speaking, I think you're right. It was the moment we got a lever onto Trump mentally.
So with that in mind, do you see that opportunity, despite everything we've just described and talked about with respect to both parties, but particularly the Democratic Party, to actually go on offense politically? Do Lincoln Project find us? Does the Lincoln Project find itself being asked to yet again save the country?
No, we no matter how rough last year was for us, and we had, you know, look, we got a lot of spears thrown at us left and right last year.
Yeah.
Some of it from our own doing.
Yeah.
You know, but we never stopped fighting. We never got out of the battle, and we told people from the beginning, as long as you want us in this fight, we're going to stay in this fight. And I truly believe that we have a unique ability, a unique position to communicate in a way that is liberated from all the traditional pressures of Democratic candidates and campaigns. And I say this a lot. I'm not a Democrat, but I love our democracy.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not a Republican anymore, but I love our republic. And I will do whatever I can to preserve it. And we'll do whatever we can to preserve it as an organization, because we understand where the ground of the fight really is. It's where the authoritarian movement meets the democratic movement. And if you look over in Ukraine, you're seeing what happens at the end of the process,
right,
where an authoritarian movement meets a democratic movement.
Right.
That's the 10 on the scale. And we're at a 3 here in America. But we've got to fight so we don't ever get to that 10 on the scale. And so we're still in the battle every day. You know, we had our best month since February of 2021, last month. We've been back in the center of the fight on a lot of
what kind of initiatives are you looking to launch, Rick? How are you guys applying strategy looking down the next 6-7 months?
Right. We're going to target 4 or 5 of the key Senate races, and those will play out, you know, depending on how the primaries play out. We're going to play in places like Ohio, Pennsylvania, Georgia, Arizona. We're going to target a small number of House races where we can make a critical difference in appealing to that narrow band of voters we're going to need to capture, the Bannon line voters. We're going to work in a couple of Secretary of State's races because we think those are highly critical for 2024. Because if you have these stooges that will just certify the election for Trump, no matter what the outcome is, we're in big trouble. We'll touch 1 or 2 governor's races, I think. We're also going to continue our corporate responsibility campaign, which pressures these corporations that are providing a lot of money to Mitch McConnell and Kevin McCarthy, even though they said we're not going to fund the insurrectionists, they're funding the insurrection. So we're going to continue that. We've launched a thing called the Union, which has activated over 50,000 volunteers around the country right now,
right,
where we match their skills to their interests like nobody else has done. And so we're going to deploy those people into these fights. We're going to continue to set the national narrative, we think, on a lot of the key issues. And we're going to show people how to fight. We're going to show them how to push back. We're going to show them how to get in the battle effectively and efficiently. And we're going to show them they don't have to be afraid. Half the Republican position right now thinking that they've won is they've convinced Democrats they're going to win.
Right. That's right.
Hey, everybody. Thanks so much for listening today. Please go to Apple Podcasts and give us a 5-star review. Heck, give us 2 5-star reviews. I love it. Or catch us on Stitcher, iHeart, TuneIn, or wherever you get that podcast thing on. You know how that goes. Peace out.
All right, America. You asked for it. Or maybe you didn't, but either way, we have to talk. You're just in kind of a crazy place right now, Mr. and Mrs. USA. So, we are going to sit down a couple of times a week and work it out between us. The way Americans do. On a podcast. Hosted by Beowulf Rocklin. Weird name. Weird news. Weird politics. Weird country. Facepalm America. Listen to Facepalm America, a podcast that laughs at America and its politics, from Beowulf Rocklin, producer of The Rick Unger Show. Facepalm America, available on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, and wherever you download your digital distractions in audio form.
You've done it again, finance teams. You closed the books, and it went fine. Sure, some expenses were missing receipts, but that's fine. Stayed late to process invoices by hand. It's all fine. But don't you deserve better than fine? With Ramp, expenses are submitted with a text, invoices are coded automatically, and everything is connected to your accounting system so you can close the books without all the busy work. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.